Now, when you walk into the ring for the number one heavyweight of the world, you'll be ready, won't you? Why? Because I waited for 50 years to make you ready. You'll be able to spit nails, kid. Like the guy says, you're gonna eat lightning and you're gonna crap thunder. You're gonna become a very dangerous person.
Our show's name pays tribute to the Boer Trekkers of South Africa, who in 1838 soundly defeated 30,000 Zulus on the bank of the Nkomo River, thereafter called Blood River, from the water turning red with the blood of the slain. Miraculously, no Boer Trekker died and only three were wounded. Now your friend, Eddie Miller, will be your ambassador for tonight's show.
Dear Blood River Radio family, I think we had a dynamite first hour. I really do. Even after having to go through, I had to switch out mics twice. Thankfully, hopefully, Lord, we're going through loud and clear now. Things like this just happen in live radio. You have to learn to roll with the flow. And thankfully, thank the Lord, we had a great guy sitting in with me, Will. He's still here hanging on. And we're getting ready to right now. We're going to bring in my little brother. Well, I guess he's a little bit younger than me, so I'll call him my little brother, Paul Fromm. How you doing, Paul, buddy?
I'm doing pretty well. I was just I'm on my way back from a freedom rally, and I gave them a short talk about anti-free speech legislation that the government's bringing in.
Well, you know what? We covered that. What you're going to have to do, Elon Musk is saying, we're getting ready to go back off this quickly. Elon Musk said, he gave a speech in Britain, Paul, and he told the British people that he said, violence, you can say nonviolent till the cows come home. That's Bombardier saying that. He said, you can be nonviolent, but he said, violence is coming to you. And I would agree with Elon Musk, except that I would give a caveat there. Elon Musk was close. Violence is already there. It's already there. They're already giving a lot of violence there. So what you got to do, Paul, I know it's going to take balls, but you people in Canada are going to have to do what everybody in the Western world, and Tommy Robinson said this. Tommy Robinson said the entire, we've been sitting here forever, the entire West is captivated by a government that hates us. They hate us because we're white. They hate us because we're Christian. And Elon Musk said, we're going to have a revolution. We're going to have to throw these governments over one way or the other and install a government of the people, by the people, for the people, that serves the people, a government that does not hate them. And that's what he said they have in England right now, Paul. He said they have a government in England that hates the government, the British stock, the stock that was been in England since there has been anybody in England. And I see we got Don Wassel on the air right now. How you doing, Don?
I'm doing great, Eddie. How you doing?
I'm doing pretty good. I'm good. I'm going to throw about 2 minutes out there and to introduce what we did the first hour. And then the rest of the program is you and we got Paul Fromm on. I got your message. I was in the bed last night, but I got your message. But to what I do.
Yeah, I don't want any excuses.
Yeah, I'll have it hooked up. Anytime you call, I'll jump out of the bed, man. I don't care if it's 2 o'clock in the morning. But Sam Dixon called me about 12:20 in the morning a week ago. I think he'd been imbibing, but maybe not. But anyway, we played a couple of clips the first hour, me and Will, and we talked about Marjorie Taylor Greene took the gloves off, and Elon Musk is taking the gloves off. And I'm going to just give you briefly what they said, and then I'm pitching the ball. It's going to be you and Paul. And we're talking about the theme of this hour is fight or die. That's what Elon Musk said. Elon Musk said, told the British people, we'll go over him before we go to MTG. He said, you have a government. You're supposed to have a government of the people, by the people, for the people, but you don't. He says, you have a government, people. He's talking to Tommy Robinson and his groups. There were thousands of them in the street. Elon was giving them the speech. He said, you have a government that hates you. You have a government that's hiding the crimes of these illegals that we've been bringing in here by ship, air, by plane, car, plane, trains, automobiles, so to speak. You're bringing these illegals in there, and they're raping your young children. They're killing your young children. They're killing your old people. They're ruling the streets. Elon said, Don and Paul. If you want, you can, he's talking to some of his friends he has in the countryside of England. They said, well, that's not, that doesn't bother us here. We have a peace and quiet. He said, if you want to see, Elon told those people, his buddies in the country, if you want to see what's coming to you soon, very soon, in less than 4 years, go to London. London is a city that's not, doesn't even resemble a British city. It's mostly dark, dusky people, people that of a different religion, a different culture, a different God. They hate you. They've said they want to, they're going to do a colonization of England, like England colonized India one time. They're coming in to rub you out, and the government you have hates you. They're going along with this, this filth that's coming to the country. And so he said, Elon told them flat out, you have to change this government one way or the other. He says, you have to fight or die. You're at a crossroads. You don't have 4 years. You're going to have to make your mind up. I'll say it again. You have to either fight or die. What do you say about that, Paul? And so from now on out,
no,
Paul.
I think Elon Musk is right on. The time for complacency or passivity is over. People have got to get militant, and they've got to go after these traitorous politicians. And they are traitors. Any politician that will allow foreigners en masse to invade our countries, Canada, the United States, France, Britain, Germany, and replace us. And that's it's no longer debatable. 50 years ago, you might have said, well, maybe it's not all that bad. Maybe it's just a small number of foreign workers. No, that's not the case anymore. They are flooding our cities, even small towns. We are being replaced. You can't open your eyes in London and not see it. You can't open your eyes in Toronto or in New York, or as you told me before, Eddie, in Memphis, Tennessee. You're being replaced, and that is treason. I mean, if your neighbor somehow you gave your neighbor the right to do some work at your place, and suddenly he opens the front door and allows in 50 bums, you'd say you've been betrayed. He's turned your place over to somebody else. That's what our elected politicians have done, by stealth. And of course, that they cover their villainy up by calling people a lot of names. Oh, you're a racist or a fascist or Adolf Hitler. And that worked for a while, but I think after Trump, it's not working so much anymore. I mean, they've called him Hitler so often, and people look at him and say, oh, come on, he's not Hitler. Whatever he is, he's not Hitler.
You know, Don, this speaks to you. Thank you, Paul. Marjorie Taylor Greene, I was really surprised for about her a lot, but I watched the clip that she did. Don, I'm going to come to you and get your take on this. Here's some points that she said. I'm just going to hit point by point, just a few points. She said that in the United States, and she said also in the House of Representatives where she is, she says there is nothing left to talk about with these people. And she's talking about these people inside the House. We're talking about representatives in the Congress of the United States. She said, Don, that they want us dead. She said that millions on the left, millions celebrated Charlie Kirk's death. She said there's no common ground. She said this over and over. She said they are vile. They want their way. And the fellow, she was on Newsmax, said this, Don. The fellow who is interviewing Marjorie Taylor Greene said that that for over a century, that they want, they being these communists, these Bolsheviks, if they can't get their way to put in their system of government, their ideology, if you get in their way, they have no qualms whatsoever rubbing you out. Marjorie Taylor Greene said that they said babies are parasites. They want open borders. They want parents to be non-parents. They don't want parents to have any rights. But she said item by item, they disagree with us on every item. They hate us. She said, here's what she said. She said she called for a national divorce, Don. She said there's nothing left to do with these people. She said the only thing that matters to her right now is trying to find a safe place run by conservatives. She said to protect us from being killed. She said they celebrate murder. They're the government of murder. They're a group of murder. They celebrate murder. Don, your take off on that, brother.
Well, first of all, how you doing, Paul?
Oh, really well, Don. Yeah, you've done great work there with your publishing all these years. I think we've known each other for about more than 20.
Yeah, long time, and you're still going strong too, of course. So yeah, I have a lot of respect for what you do as well, Ed. Yeah,
sir.
I mean, I think if this country survives and it moves forward and we still have elections and it's still recognizable, I would love to see Marjorie Taylor Greene be the first woman president. You know, you've heard that. Who will be the one? Will we have a woman president? Who will it be? Well, I always thought Phyllis Schlafly would have been a good one. But then, you know, we've had all these preposterous figures like Hillary. But I hear the music on. But, yeah, I think Marjorie, I'll pick up after the break if you want. But Marjorie would be the great first woman president for sure.
We'll go right back to you, so we come back for the break. Be right back, folks. Got about a minute and a half.
During our war for Southern independence, the brilliant Confederate general Robert E. Lee foretold the decline of this country when he prophesied, if those people, referring to the dictatorial federal government, if those people win this war, the United States will become a bully abroad and a tyrant at home. As Lee predicted, it has come to pass. The principles laid out in our founding documents, our Declaration of Independence, and the individual rights protected in our Constitution have been vilified and discarded. But not everyone has surrendered. Blood River Radio brings you highly respected, intelligent guests not afraid to speak the truth when the truth in America today is censored and attacked. Your contributions keep us on the air in order to fight against the bullies abroad and the tyrants at home. Send your war contributions to Blood River Radio, P.O. Box 34636, Bartlett, Tennessee 38184. That address is on our website, www.bloodriverradio.com. Don't let the bullies and the tyrants win.
This is a battle between truth and deceit, a battle between forces that would enslave this country in darkness and between a media that wants to present you with the truth.
We are being censored. America's news outlets no longer provide the truth. 90% of news outlets in the United States are controlled by 6 corporations. The mission of the Epoch Times is to chase the truth, to ground all statements in fact.
TheEpicTimes.com.
Looking for an IT partner that truly understands your needs? Managed IT Services is the answer. We meet with you regularly to discuss your goals and form a tailored technology plan. Our customers have called us a trusted advisor who delivers. When it comes to IT, we do it all. Firewalls, cloud storage, server migration, and more. Say goodbye to long-term contracts and hello to a team that earns your business month after month. Call 801-706-6980 now and let Managed IT Services transform your IT experience.
What we've got here is failure to communicate. Some men you just can't reach.
Dear Blood River Radio, thank you for holding on. I'll make a quick statement to go right back to Don. It's to summarize, we talked about elections. Don said he would like to he would vote for Marjorie Taylor Greene as the president. Marjorie Taylor Greene herself said, and surmising what she said and putting it and analyzing it, we were not going to have an election because she said we cannot get along with these people. These people being the communists, that are the Democrats, the Satan worshipers. In other words, the Democrats are in the House of Representatives, in the Senate, and their cohorts. They're into repeat what other people said in this on this program, including Elon Musk. These people, we can't elect anybody. We can't have a government until these people have to be defeated. We can't get along with them. We can't compromise with them. There's no, Marjorie Taylor Greene said there's absolutely no common ground. She said they hate us. They want to murder us. How can we possibly have an election under those circumstances to face up to facts? I know it's really hard and scary and it's depressing, but these people are going to have to be dealt with. On the first hour, Will said, Don, that he named the many groups of queers and communists. They're in training, highly armed, getting ready, and they're saying, they're not trying to hide it. They're coming after us. They want to kill us. I submit to you that we're going to have to deal with those people, like Elon said, You may not want to be violent, but violence is coming to you. We have to fight back or die. Go ahead, Don.
Well, I'll tell you what. I'm actually feeling pretty darn optimistic today, and I'll tell you why. Because we're going about things the right way. We are winning the info war. That's one reason the left is reeling and lashing out and exposing themselves as what they are. We are winning the info war. The alternative media, the powers that be, tried to smash it. Instead, they made it that much stronger than what it was before. The reason so many people are aware on one level or another now is because of the alternative media. It's because of the well-known podcasters like Tucker Carlson and Matt Gaetz, and then people like you and me and Paul that have been doing our thing for a lot of years, too. We have reached a lot of people now, and they see what's going on. It can't be hidden anymore, so that's half the battle right there. And I'm just looking, looking at my most recent issue of American Free Press, which I know, Paul, I think you've written for it, and I'm sure a lot of your listeners are familiar with it. I'll just take two headlines that are in this most recent issue. Political incorrectness back in vogue. Gutsy right-wing podcasters openly discussing recently quote-unquote taboo topics. I mean, you've got podcasters now, people on YouTube with followings that's far larger than what Jimmy Kimmel had, his audience. I mean, that's fantastic. The numbers of people that are tuning in is fantastic. That's a major reason why Trump won, is because he was reaching a lot of the younger audience out there that is rejecting liberalism and all the garbage and all the narratives and everything that was foisted on us during Biden's 4 years of soft communist totalitarianism. Then there's another one. Advocate for Segregated Settlements explains the goal of his organization. This is an interview by James Edwards of Eric, I guess it's Orwell, who has started the Back to the Land movement. And they're actually not just talking, they're buying up parcels of land. It's a membership organization. They're trying to skirt around the laws to stop from being persecuted for selling their parcels only to whites, fellow whites. And this is thriving so far. They're starting in Arkansas and Missouri. And so far, they haven't had any problems with the attorney generals there. So, you know, there's so many positive things out there. And I would just say, you know, I know it's scary right now, no question about it. But, and I've said it, I think, every time I've been on your show, Eddie, we do not want a civil war. We are not prepared for it mentally or physically. And one is not going to turn out well. I mean, you do not want a civil war. We want to keep winning the way we are by discrediting the powers that be. You know, more and more people, they don't even tune into the corporate media at all. You know, we're living our lives without them now, and it infuriates them. Who are they reaching anymore? Just the tiny audience that Jimmy Kimmel had and Stephen Colbert, and unfortunately some older people that were born before computers and the internet came in vogue, and their habit is to turn on NBC, ABC, CBS, and the Canadian Broadcasting Corporation and still get their news from them, which of course is nothing but a bunch of lies. But that is a smaller and smaller group every day too. You watch it, and all the commercials are for, you know, various drugs with incredibly powerful side effects. You know, Big Pharma, that's their go-to audience. So we are winning in a lot of ways. We've just got to continue to be smart in what we're doing. We don't want a civil war. I mean, do you really want bombers flying over and taking groups of patriots out and things like that? No, we don't want that. All bets are off if it gets to that point. We want to keep winning the way we're winning. And so I have a message of encouragement today.
Back to you, Paul.
Yeah, I largely agree with Don, but things have reached a really pathetic pass when there was a resolution before the House of Representatives a couple of days ago to honor, to recognize the death of Mr. Kirk, and a majority of Democrats would not vote for it. They either voted against, or they simply answered present when their name was called, or abstained. Outrageous! They couldn't even recognize the sadness of the death of Mr. Kirk. You know, whether you agree with him or not, that's not the point. Just the basic humanity of expressing sorrow when a man passes away, but not just passes away, was murdered. You know, there's a a huge divide in American and Canadian society, and there's a substantial minority that thinks that it's okay to kill people who have a different political view than yours, and that's on the left. They feel if you have the views of Charlie Kirk or Don Wassel or Eddie the Bombardier Miller, they're fair game. Well, this is not going to end well, especially in the States. I agree with Don about the complete collapse of credibility of the mass media in the U.S. particularly, but in Canada too. And also positive is the fact that the Israelis have overplayed their hand in the Middle East. The brutality in Gaza, the 50,000 dead plus, the large portions of the population are totally fed up. The accusations of anti-Semitism just don't bite anymore. And the wonderful card that the Jewish lobby has had since the Second World War, we're victims, therefore give us this, give us, the Germans have been bled white, paying reparations, we have to support Israel, remember we're victims, well, people on the social media, even some of the mainstream media, you can see who's victimizing whom. These Israeli soldiers dressed like Darth Vader, shooting up people trying to access food, buildings bombed into the Stone Age. Much of Gaza looks worse than Hiroshima. They're just not victims anymore. At least in growing numbers of people, and they're losing the public relations war. Now they still, of course, because of the immense power of the Jewish lobby, have political power in the States. There's a reporter for Radio Canada, or I should say Radio Canada. It's the French language radio in Canada. She was a Washington correspondent, and she lost her job this week after 9 years because she was being asked by the host up in Ottawa, what's the political situation in the States, and she said, well, Jewish money pretty much controls everything political about the Middle East. They pretty much bought the Congress. They have control of Hollywood, and money talks. I'm paraphrasing, but that's essentially what she said. Well, the Jewish lobby was just howling. This is anti-Semitic, and they use that term that I never, I'm a linguist and an English scholar. I have hardly ever seen the word trope. Every time you get a Jewish press statement coming out, they talk about anti-Semitic tropes. And it's kind of hard to explain what the word means. It's kind of like an image, I guess, anti-Semitic images. But that, it's almost like an in-word, like a Masonic handshake when you see that word. Well, the Minister of Heritage, the Jewish lobby called for disciplining of this employee and a retraction, blah, blah, blah. The very next day, the Minister of Heritage, who is a bit of a smart ass and generally a no good, he was there down on his knees. The woman had been fired, and he was talking about the no place for anti-Semitic tropes. I mean, practically reading from their script. And I thought, did you not realize? She said the Jewish lobby has tremendous power because of money in the United States. They objected to that. Presumably it's false. but immediately the Jewish lobby speaks up in Canada, and the woman gets fired. Well, I mean, who has the power? They, by their viciousness and their bullying, they basically are making the case for their opponents, and there are a lot of people noticing.
Well, thank you, Paul. We'll come right back. I guess we'll go back over to O'Don and get his take on what you said as soon as we come back to this break. Folks, this is a long break, about the hour break. It's about 4 minutes. If you want to get some coffee, use the restroom, whatever you need to do. You got about 4 minutes, but don't be late. Coming back, folks. Come back.
pursuing liberty, using the Constitution as our guide. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
News this hour from Town Hall, I'm Mary Rose. Correspondent Julie Walker reports a cyber attack has disrupted check-in systems at major European airports.
A cyber attack targeting check-in and boarding systems in Europe Friday night disrupts air traffic, causing delays at several of Europe's major airports Saturday, according to officials, though the initial impact seems somewhat limited. Aviation and travel expert Paul Charles says Collins Aerospace, which reported the cyber attack affecting its check-in systems, has a big problem.
Collins Aerospace is owned by RTX. It's the world's biggest defense and aviation company. Collins supplies the UK government. It supplies other governments around the world.
European airports advising flyers to check their flight status. I'm Julie Walker.
The Senate rejected two competing measures to fund federal agencies for a few weeks when the new budget year begins on October the 1st. Prior to the Senate vote yesterday, House Republicans approved a short-term continuing resolution, as correspondent Bernie Bennett reports.
Democrats voted against the funding bill, demanding restoration of Medicaid support and action to extend subsidies under the Affordable Care Act that are now set to expire at the end of the year. House Minority Leader Hakeem Jeffries.
Access to high-quality, affordable health care is a right, and Democrats are on the floor of the House of Representatives vindicating that right at all times.
Appropriations Committee Chairman Tom Cole responds.
Got exactly what you asked for. You asked for a clean CR. You got a clean CR.
The vote was 217 to 212. Bernie Bennett, Washington.
The Secret Service is investigating after a man carrying a weapon was detained at Arizona Stadium ahead of tomorrow's memorial service for Charlie Kirk. He entered the stadium yesterday and was exhibiting suspicious behavior while posing as a law enforcement officer. More on these stories at townhall.com.
Guess who's watching Rob Finnerty on Newsmax? President Trump is. He even says Finnerty's show is so terrific. Millions are joining President Trump to watch Finnerty every night at 8 p.m. Eastern on Newsmax. All this week, Rob looks at the media's war on President Trump. Rob gives you the facts about the National Guard in cities like New York, Chicago, and Los Angeles. He tells you the real truth about the Jeffrey Epstein files. And he reveals the big media's agenda on Trump's health. You need to watch Rob Finnerty on Newsmax. Check out your local cable system. Newsmax is on all major systems. Or download the free Newsmax app. It costs you nothing, and you can watch in minutes. Finnerty is the fastest-growing primetime news show in America. Find out why even President Trump is tuning in. More than 40 million Americans go to Newsmax for news they can trust. Because we are real news for real people.
Have you ever had great honey? No, I mean really good, all-natural, raw honey. Well, now you can, thanks to localhoneyman.com. We can ship out our locally made honey all across the U.S. So don't worry, you won't miss out. Plus, Local Honeyman has so many different flavors, like Utah Wildflower, High Desert Delight, Happy Valley, and Blackberry, just to name a few. So purchase your delicious raw honey today at localhoneyman.com.
As you are aware, America is divided over every fault line possible. This is intentionally fostered by those who do not love God, family, or country. We believe a peaceful future as a free people absolutely depends on civility. Clarion Call for Civility is looking for funding and volunteers at every level to make our hopes and efforts a reality. Please donate, sign our pledge, and help us in our sacred cause. Please visit callforcivility.com for more details. callforcivility.com.
This is Michael Hill, Chief of the League of the South. I listen to Blood River Radio, and you should too. In fact, you should be telling your friends, your family, and your associates to listen to Eddie Miller and the good folks at Blood River Radio. They stand resolutely for the preservation of white civilization, what we once called Christendom, and they stand against the ongoing campaign of white genocide. In these trying and uncertain times, it's more important than ever to speak and act in defense of our God, our people, and our civilization. Blood River Radio speaks the truth and speaks it boldly. I've been on this show many times as a guest, and I'm very proud of my association with you. May our just cause prevail. Hail victory.
I'll tell you one thing that every good soldier knows. The only thing that counts in the end is power. Naked, merciless force!
Dear Blood and River Radio family, thank you for hanging out. I've been enjoying this immensely. All you people who have been listening very long at all, I like to get really good people on. And we strive to get the best people we can get. I think we have the best people we can get. I really do. And I like to just get back out of their way. And that's what I'm getting ready to do. We're getting ready. I think Paul had the last word, so we're getting ready to go back to Don. I would just like to interject of what Elon said. And what we said here, you can say you reject violence and you don't want civil war, but violence doesn't reject you. Violence is coming. Elon told those people in Britain that violence is coming. Marjorie Taylor Greene said that, and I'll repeat what she said, there is no getting along with these people. She said if you go and talk to them on every single item that you discuss with them, they are totally against you. They are for evil. That's what the term reprobate means. If you see something if you're a reprobate and you see something that's really evil, you say, oh, that's good. Like a child being killed, a late-term abortion, say an hour after he's born, you cut his head off. Oh, that's good. A 40-year-old fat man sodomizing a little 8-year-old boy, well, he's just a map, a minor elected person. That's good. These people are army. They are, and to repeat what Marjorie Taylor Greene said, how are you going to have an election? How are you going to have a government with these kind of people that hate your guts? They're not going to follow any kind of law you have. And I'll shut up after this. I'm not going to hammer a point. These people have to be defeated. They are never going to allow any type of government that we elect to get to function. We've seen that, and you see it in England even more so than here. Anyway, that's why I think it's just wishful thinking, and I think the evidence will point out that we can just have this peaceful election. We have a government go on our peaceful way. These reprobates are not going to allow that to happen. Well, that's just one man's view. I hope I'm wrong, but anyway, back to you, Don. Oh, before I forget, listen, the American Freedom News. That's right. For American Freedom News, if you want to cover any news story on the face of the earth, you don't have to go to any other news sites. All you have to do is go to AmericanFreedomNews.us. I'm very, very proud to be a friend of Don Wassel, who's owned now, who's created that. How in the hell he does it, I'll never know. Don, if you will, cover that. And also, I'd like to see, pretty soon, we need to talk about CAS football again. Throw this outside. I'm not really much of a pro football athlete because it's become so dark. But I see my kid, Matt Jones, played quarterback for Alabama. He was pretty much thrown to the side. It looks like he's shining out, I think, out in San Francisco. I know this is kind of a rabbit trail, but if you will, Don, tell us about AmericanFreedomNews.us before we go on. I'm going to shut my mouth. The rest of the show, I want you and Paul to take it to the bar. Go ahead, Don.
AmericanFreedomNews.us is a news aggregation site. I update it every day, put a lot of different stuff on there. From the alternative media, and obviously with a tilt towards our point of view, pro-white, pro-American, anti-communist. So I would urge your listeners that haven't already to check it out. And Paul, if you could always send me material from what you're doing, I'd be glad to put it on there. If you could,
I'd like that.
Scratch my back, I'll scratch yours, kind of thing.
AmericanFreedomNews.com.
.us. .us.
Okay.
AmericanFreedomNews.us. I want to make it clear. I don't see things just, we're not all going to be singing kumbaya if we avoid a civil war. But I guess I'm looking at it that if there's going to be violence, first it should come from the government to put these people down if need be. I mean, there was footage the other day of ICE being attacked in Chicago, and they fought back very decisively, and
that's right.
That was that. This is what we need. I don't expect my fellow shoppers at Walmart or someplace like that to take up arms. They're not capable of it. I think really this is the moment of truth for the Trump administration that we're in now. First of all, what Paul was talking about the Israel lobby, and I didn't mention that earlier, but that's another fantastic thing, actually. Who would have thought that Israel and its powerful lobby and its narratives would lose so much credibility? I mean, it's never happened before in our lifetime. So I think that's a wonderful thing, actually.
I think so, too.
And I think this, unfortunately, the terrible assassination that happened, that has put Antifa and the radical left and these homosexual and LGBT groups front and center. And it's up to Trump now. I mean, he hasn't, you know, we talked about this last week, Eddie. I mean, there's no more excuses. We've heard 9 months, well, they're investigating, you know, these people from the previous administration and Trump's first administration. The arrests will be coming. Well, nothing's happened yet. But there's no more excuses now. The Biden administration did not have a problem launching one lawfare attack after another against Trump and his supporters. So it's time. Not just to be tit for tat kind of thing, but these people are in the wrong. They're traitors. They're communists. They need to be put down. And so this is Trump's moment of truth now. Will he go after Antifa? Will he go after the radical left? Will he go after the people that subverted his own administration and this country? And so that's why I am cautiously optimistic. I don't think he could survive if he doesn't now. He has to, or at least try. And so I'm optimistic about that. And that's how we want it to happen. I don't really have much faith in my fellow, you know, my neighbors, my fellow citizens taking up arms, the ones that live in nice, comfortable suburban homes, you know, giving it up and joining some militia or something. I just don't see that happening. And I think it would have a very bad end if it does. So we need it to happen the way we're doing. We've laid a lot of the groundwork by discrediting the establishment. I mean, it's, you know, we think back, put some of these things in perspective. It's just absolutely astounding some of the things that have just happened in the last few years that we thought probably would never happen. The number of people who are awake at one level or another is huge now. You know, we used to be always such a tiny little fringe out there, but we're not anymore. There are millions and millions and millions of us, and we are all getting the word out in our own way. And so I think it would be foolish to just talk about civil war. Let's talk about putting the vile and the left down, but let's do it the right way. You know, if Trump won't do it, then, you know, all bets are off as to how things will go from here. But I think the thing to do now is keep up the info war that we're in.
I have a question for Don, and this has nothing to do with civil war. You mentioned that President Trump has not made any arrests whatsoever. He really hasn't done anything like that. God help us, if Hillary Clinton had been in there, we probably would all be in jail. So my question is, why has he not arrested these people, Don? What is holding him back? And my second part of that question is, the Jeremy Epstein thing, if somebody using that to blackmail him? Elon Musk has come out and said that Trump's name is on that list. Why is he? What's the holdup? Why is he not?
Well, but I think, you know, the holdup continues, Eddie. Then I guess we'll be able to assume that is part of the reason why, and that will discredit Trump too. So, I mean, I see this as his moment of truth, and we'll see what he does. The Epstein thing is very suspicious, and it's alienated a large part of his own base. So he's got to make some very important decisions too. And as far as why, I don't know. We keep hearing these things that the groundwork's being laid. There's investigations behind the scene. There's this, there's that. But, you know, it's time. It's time now. So, you know, let's see what happens in the coming days.
I agree that it's time. And, you know, on the positive side, Trump has declared Antifa a terrorist organization. Now, that's only a declaration. They've got to go beyond that. But Antifa are really the street thugs of the leftist elite. They do
Democrat,
the dirty work
of the Democrat Party.
Trump has got to deal with them, and if he does, that's really very powerful. He's got the chance, and he's certainly going after the right people. And I also, from the point of view of white people, his abolition of DEI, at least federally in the United States, is huge. It's an absolute sea change. And the idea that where federal government prevails, hiring will be on the basis of merit and qualifications, not on ticking off boxes that you're you're a black crippled lesbian. Oh, three ticks for that, you get the job. I mean, that's absolutely huge. That's revolutionary. It's practically replacing the state religion, that has been in place for a long time, but certainly since Obama, maybe before. I see that as positive. Not all that we want, of course, but that is positive. Marjorie Taylor Greene herself has come a long way. She's now blackballed by AIPAC. She won't take their money. That's good.
She said that she wouldn't vote for one dime to Israel. She said that she has really come around. She really has. And not to interrupt you, well, Paul, if you know here or not, we got the music. We're going to our last break. We'll go right back to you, Paul. We'll come back, and I think you're talking about Marjorie Taylor Greene. Be right back, folks. Last break, second hour.
Bypass the mainstream narrative with Liberty News Radio at libertynewsradio.com. Engage with charismatic hosts live or on demand. We cover the crucial news focused on God, family, and country. News that other networks simply refuse to use. Think of LNR as hard-hitting news and podcasts at your fingertips anytime, anywhere. Join us at libertynewsradio.com. Empower your day with the truth, because the truth will set you free. libertynewsradio.com.
Introducing Managed IT Services from NPI. We offer top-notch data backup and recovery, email spam protection, and network security tailored to your needs and budget. With 20-plus years of experience in the medical field, our HIPAA-certified consultants know what it takes to protect sensitive information. Don't settle for less. Give us a call at 801-706-6980 and experience the difference with Managed IT Services. Remember, your IT support should be fast, efficient, and reliable.
I'm Pastor Everett Ramsey, pastor of Faith Baptist Church. A congregation of God's covenant people, informed Christians know that we are at the brink of a long-planned one-world government being executed that will not tolerate true Christian faith. There is a way to stop it. Our church has used God's spiritual weapons of warfare many times over the years, and in every case that was properly executed, the Church of Jesus Christ has been delivered. It is called the Court of Divine Justice. David used it many times. Read Psalm 37, Psalm 109. It includes truthful information, repentance, and imprecatory prayers. Blood River Radio is the only radio station I know that supports action based on truth about lies concerning the Confederacy, the Civil Rights Movement, the German people, the true Holocaust, and who the true covenant people of God are, and the sins and failures of the churches, if any of these. This means anything to you, and it should, then please say so with your money, as well as prayers. You may obtain information from us about the Courts of Divine Justice by sending your offering and request to Blood River Radio, and we take none of the money.
I gave you power, huh? Let me tell you something, boy. If I did give you power, you got nothing. Nobody gives you power. Real power is something you take.
Dear Blood River Radio family, thank you very much for holding on. It's time flies, so we have one segment left the second hour with that. People, we're talking about AmericanFreedomNews.us for good reason. I'm pulling a story up, got it right now. It says, Rethinking the Success of the Canadian Trucker Freedom Convoy. And alongside the same column on the right, it says, 5,000 Americans die each week from COVID vaccines. And I believe that's part. Paul says this in that article just said, Rethinking the Success of the Trucker Canadian Trucker Freedom Convoy. They were protesting, some of the protesting that they were making against was the forced COVID vaccines. And I see now where the CDC and these other people saying they're trying to backpedal without getting sued or whatever, because they're pretty much admitting that the vaccines were bogus. They're by saying 5,000 Americans a week die, probably more than that. So, Paul, let's revisit, if you will, let's revisit the Canadian Trucker Freedom Convoy, because you were just talking about that. And then we'll get Don's input on it, since he's the one that posted this story to his online, I call it online newspaper. It's the greatest thing I've seen. But anyway, go ahead, Paul.
I thank Don for having the perception to do that. That was good. That the Truckers' Freedom Convoy was one of the most consequential political developments in Canada since the Second World War. The white working class fought back. Now, you know, there were, to be fair, there were a few Native Indians, a few Sikhs, the odd Oriental, but by and large, it was a white thing, white working class, and the Canadian elite has nothing but contempt for the white working class. They figure they're just about a bunch of beer-swilling, country music-loving, ineffectual rednecks. Can't do anything. Well, boy, did they do things. They raised $20 million in 3 weeks on GoFundMe and what's the religious one? Give something go. The government managed to steal $10 million, but they funded themselves like almost overnight. At one point, desperate Trudeau was saying, "Oh, Putin was funding it. Putin didn't give a goddamn ruble."
Putin's everywhere.
And they worked. He's everywhere. And
he does my river.
Oh, great. When's my next paycheck coming?
Yeah, why are we all so dirt poor?
Must go, I'm greedy.
And they make it in rubles. Anyway, they also didn't figure they could organize. Well, it was an absolute masterpiece of organization, bringing truckers from across the country, from the Maritimes, from Quebec, from the West Coast, from the Prairies, from Ontario, all converging on Ottawa, and they kept it peaceful, and they had almost a holiday atmosphere out there, and they drove the elite crazy. They brought in what is the Canadian War Measures Act to deal with a parking problem. It was a parking problem. If Trudeau or senior members of his cabinet had sat down with the truckers when they arrived and said, "Well, look, send us a committee of 10 people from your group, we'll sit down with you for, you know, with some of the cabinet ministers, bring in some coffee. Well, what is it you guys want? What's your issue?" But no, they were calling them rednecks and women haters and racists before they even got to Ottawa. If they just adopted a political solution, sit down, talk with these guys. I would have advocated that's not enough, but I think they would have gone home. They wanted to be heard, and they weren't heard. And instead of being smart and negotiating with them, and Trudeau could have looked like a masterful politician. Instead, he looked like the petulant little rich kid that he was. But this was an unprecedented coming together of people. Real old timers tell me there's been nothing like that since the Depression. And it's hopeful. You know, Canadians tend to be passive and, overly impressed with authority. But boy, things caught fire, and the fire's not gone out. So I'm cautiously hopeful.
Go ahead, Don.
Well, yeah. While that was going on, the Freedom Times newspaper, I was still printing that, and I had my good friend Patricia Aiken. Was based in Nevada, but she had a lot of good contacts in Canada, and she was writing really good articles for each issue of the Freedom Times while that was going on. And you know, we were talking during the break, and I don't think I'm alone. I think a lot of us involved in the movement here in the U.S. we think of Canada and we think of the whites there as being as beaten down and passive as American whites are, but they really showed us something, and it was inspiring. I mean, it was truly inspiring. And the optics of it were fantastic. There's trucks and the Canadian flags everywhere, and the people. And I mean, it was a brilliant thing. And it exposed how rotten the Canadian establishment is. Just and what a rotten Prime Minister Trudeau was. You know, or Castro's illegitimate son or whatever he is. But he was awful.
Yeah.
And, But you know, it was something I think that inspired white people around the world. How could it not? So I mean, it was a great thing.
Well, one of the great things about that was the sense of solidarity. It wasn't just the truckers that went up to Ottawa, but it was freezing cold all across the country, and everywhere that the convoy went, there were people on the overpasses cheering them on. I was there at a couple of the overpasses, a gale of a wind, miserable. People were out there waving flags, and when they stopped, people were almost literally throwing money at them, food, bottled water. There was just an outpouring of support. In Winnipeg, the Mennonite women who came from out of town put on a big dinner for the truckers that came through Winnipeg. Well, the RCMP banned the truckers from Winnipeg. So what did the Mennonite women do? They drove about 3 hours farther east to a place in Ontario called Kenora. They set up their tables. The truckers came, and you know the truckers enjoyed a meal of real food that schmecks. There was that real outpouring of love of liberty and support of people who were fighting for it, and that spirit is has not died. That's one of the things I think Don and I and others can do: help free white people from their guilt. You know, in religious terms, you want to free people from sin. If we could get whites freed from their sense of white guilt and get them to come together, like other ethnic groups do, to support one another, we'd be unbeatable. You know, we still have the numbers if we could encourage white solidarity.
Absolutely. We've got the numbers. We've got the know-how. That's one reason they work so hard to replace us, because they know what we're capable of. And like I said, I think things are coming to a head. I think the awakening is happening with remarkable speed. There's just a lot of things going on that are positive that I never thought would happen in our lifetimes. Now, part of it is because things have advanced so far, but still, you know, a lot of white people are waking up now. So I just think we got to be smart about it and savvy. We don't want to overdo it. I don't want to see this country Canada reduced to rubble because of the Civil War. Let's win.
No.
Let's use our own government as much as we can. But if not, we'll go from there. But you know, I'm pretty cautiously optimistic.
Those rallies last week in Britain, I never thought I'd see them in the old days of the British National Front and the BNP. They might get maybe 10,000 out to a rally. They had 100,000 or more in the streets of London, and smaller rallies in other British. This is really revolutionary. Really good.
May you live in interesting times. We're certainly in them.
We're talking about rabbit trails.
Sure,
I can inject this. If you, I know, and I'm surprised that Mennonites were that active, but I'll tell you this, people right here, this is rabbit trail. If you ever get a chance, and Paul was talking about how the Mennonite ladies set up tables and fed the truckers. People, if you ever get a chance to eat with the Mennonites, I'm telling you flat out, you do not want to turn that down. You're talking about some flat out good cooking. Me and Gene went to a memorial last year. And I told the people, I hope it's not sacrilegious, but I ate like a cow, man. After that memorial, they had every kind of fruit pie you can imagine. Lord knows, I love fruit pies. You can't hardly get a fruit pie in the South anymore. It's all cake and pudding and all kind of crap like that. The best food, homemade ice cream, every kind of pie imaginable, blueberry, blackberry, peach, plum, mixed berry, homemade ice cream, homemade bread. I mean, we're talking about delicious stuff. I can't believe we ran the whole hour talk about that. But God bless the Mennonites. I didn't know they had that in them, Paul, to go up there and do something like that. That's pretty bold, brother. Well, Paul,
they're not generally. That's another thing. They're not generally politically active.
No.
They're big on refugees, but they're not normally politically active. That in itself was revolutionary, and it just shows what a little bit of leadership can do. I don't know, it may be one woman.
Guys, we're completely out of time, Paul. We're completely out of time. I'd like to thank you so much. I'd like to thank you so much, Don, for coming on. God bless you guys.
Thanks, Eddie.
pulled my bacon out of the fire. Y'all did a marvelous, marvelous, marvelous job. I'll be contacting both of you guys real soon. Dear Blood River Radio people, we've got to transition to the third hour, picking up the bitter end of Gene Andrews. Be right back, folks.